if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports. I'm Joe Aguirre in for JJ Vargas, of course, joined by Riley and Sander. We're presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Sports. Got a lot of topics to cover today. We're talking about Julio Jones. I'll tell you, everything Atlanta's been doing has been confusing me. So we'll get a little bit into where's Julio going to end up? Should Julio end up anywhere, or should he stay in Atlanta? Seen a lot of no-hitters in baseball. As usual, it's not anybody too impressive outside of Corey Kluber. The record low batting average, we got to talk about all this. Baseball is in an absolute funk right now. And the Brooklyn Nets, can they live up to the hype? Can they win an NBA championship? Las Vegas seems to think so, despite the fact the Big Three have played just 8 games together all season. Plus, we've got our bold predictions for the weekend. JJ's phoned his in, so we'll have that and so much more. But we'll start off, Riley, Julio Jones is still, I think, a top 5 receiver in the game of football. Crazy to think that this guy could be on the move. Which team should go out there and pick up Julio Jones?
Well, for starters, I just want to say something real quick. Just because a guy's on, he's going to be traded, just because he's on the block, does not mean he's trash. Let's just get that out there, because what a lot of people are saying is, oh, you're trading Julio, does that mean he's bad? No, it doesn't. So let's just throw that out there. So who should go for him? The Colts definitely need to not only be on the phone, right? They need to go to Julio's house, hold him hostage, and say, you're not leaving until you name us as the only team. I'm not kidding at all. The Colts desperately need, like, again, when your best receiver arguably is, no disrespect, but an aging T.Y. Hilton, it's going to, not to say that your wide receiving core is bad, but you can always make it better. And if you're swapping out T.Y. for Julio, or heck, maybe even pairing them up, again, this Colts team has been on the trend for a while. They've been going up for a while, so adding Julio definitely will make him better. And another team, the greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth, led by the greatest head coach ever, the New England Patriots. If I remember what I said, everything about the Colts, yeah, what we need to do is cater to this man. We need to buy him a ticket. We buy him a mansion. He gets say when we have practice, when we start, when we finish. Heck, what jerseys we wear? We going straight 2K for this man. We wearing our away jerseys and we're home? Say less. That's enough for me, Chief. That's what I'm doing from the past. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what I would do. Look, man, Julio is still a baller. The guy, if you put him on anywhere, this dude 110% can still play. And another team that people have been talking about, which kind of does make sense, the Tennessee Titans. Which I kind of do like. If you pair him with Brown, I think that'll be a disgusting 1-2 combo with Derrick Henry in that backfield. I don't care what anybody says. Derrick Henry is the best running back in the league. If you want to disagree with me, I got 2 reasons right here. And that's all the reasons I need to show you Derrick Henry is that guy. But honestly, those 3 teams definitely need him. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some other teams. The Ravens were thrown in there, but I just don't think it's going to be a good fit because – a guy like Julio, sure, he'll live with only getting 2 passes a game, but at the same time, he understands if I go there, I'm averaging 2 passes a game. Not just, a couple weeks I'll get 2 passes. That's what he might average. So right now for me, the three teams who should be fighting tooth and nail for Julio is going to be the Patriots, the Colts, and the Titans. I mean, maybe the Chargers, if you kind of want to be like, you know, want to pick a dark horse team, sure, you can do the Chargers, but I just, in terms of those 4 teams, I just don't see Chargers having a chance at getting Julio. Like,
I hear you, bro. And you made some great points on those teams. Of course, your New England Patriots. I knew you was going to throw them in there. I thought of them too as well because, you know, that's a legit team that would love a number one for sure to solidify that offense. For sure. And you guys got a few guys, but, you know, they're just some guys. A guy like Julio can definitely solidify that core, at least for what it is, in New England. But some teams that I had, Miami. I think Miami should definitely try and make a play for Julio Jones, have some veteranship, bring some leadership, and bring a guy for Tua to, you know, that's a number one receiver for sure, and to help a guy like Devontae Parker, who had a phenomenal – these last two seasons, Devontae Parker has had, two solid seasons. He's been great in fantasy. He's been great in fantasy the past two seasons. If you had him in our fantasy league, he's been going off. Devontae Parker is on the upside, and to help him and Tua grow that offense, Brian Flores could definitely use a weapon like that on his team. It's Miami. It's down in South Beach. You know, so I think Julio would make a great fit here. Another team. I know it's kind of a long shot, but the San Francisco 49ers, to me, should also try and make a play for a guy like Julio Jones. Because guess what? If you bring in a guy like Julio Jones, you already know who wants to come and play for you, that bad man Aaron Rodgers. So for sure, he'll push mountains if San Fran were to get their hands on a guy like Julio Jones to land in San Francisco and play in San Fran. Because I don't care what anybody says. I think Aaron Rodgers is about done in Green Bay. I think he won't be in Green Bay. So maybe San Fran making a move like that for Julio would definitely for sure have a guy like Aaron Rodgers not come knocking on the door. And this team is kind of out there, but, you know, the Steelers. The Steelers have always had, you know, they've always had a tandem receiver. When they had Juju Smith-Schuster going off, they also had that man, great Antonio Brown on the other side. As soon as Antonio Brown left the Steelers, I'm sorry, but Juju Smith-Schuster was exposed. I feel like if you pair a guy like Juju with Julio Jones, takes the pressure off of Juju and, you know, lets him be a great number two, because I don't know what nobody says. Juju Smith-Schuster's numbers are really, really good number two numbers. I don't see him as a number one ever. He hasn't shown me that he's been a number one. So I think if you bring in a guy like Julio to the Steelers, you know, Big Ben, he has a way of starting off hot and ending cold. If you have you bring in a guy like Julio Jones to spread the field, not just have defenses lock down Juju and Deontay Washington or Deontay Johnson. I think I'm sure he's good. I know he's pretty good. He's quick, but I feel like that wide receiving core is good enough for the Steelers to make another run. So they could definitely use a guy like Julio, and I believe they definitely have the requisite parts to maybe ship to Atlanta for a guy like Julio, because what else are you going to do? The Steelers, I mean, once Antonio Brown bounced, it's like they've gone downhill and they lost John Connor. So I think those are the three teams that should definitely make a play for Julio: the Steelers, the 49ers, and the Miami Dolphins.
So here's my thought. The Giants did this when they moved Odell Beckham and told Eli Manning they were bringing him back to win another championship, or give it another championship run, was how they phrased it. And I thought, if he's going to win a championship, he's going to be throwing the ball to Odell Beckham.
Right.
So this is a stupid plan. Why does Atlanta not draft Justin Fields at 4? If you're just going to move Julio Jones, obviously develop Calvin Ridley, that, you know, I'd be your, I don't understand the move of Kyle Pitts now. It's like, well, I'm going to give Matt Ryan a great tight end, but I'm going to take his best receiver and trade him away. I don't understand the logic in that. That doesn't make them a better team. It's to me a step back. Mm-hmm. So does anybody know where Atlanta is mentally right now, and where does Atlanta see itself going, Riley? Because I'm seeing a lot of mixed signals from this team. This team needed defense really more than anything else, and they went out and got a tight end who's great, mind you. And I mean, I love Kyle Pitts, don't get me wrong, but wrong team, wrong guy.
110%. And JJ, if he was here, shout out to JJ. You know we love you. But again, he was saying, oh, yeah, they should get Kyle Pitts. I think Light was with me on this one. I was screaming. If you don't get a quarterback, you are making the worst possible move you can make. Now, in terms of what the Falcons are thinking, this is what I'm assuming. And this is the only, I'm saying logical, but I'm using that word very loosely. The only logical conclusion I can come is that Julio's getting injured. We don't like that. We think we have a decent core without him. And we can just have Kyle Pitts be the guy. And I guarantee you, with Julio out, they're going to try to line Kyle Pitts out in the wide receiver as like a slot receiver. And he's also going to have him in the tight end spot. And then they're just going to get rid of Julio so that way they can – supposedly they're looking for young defensive players. That's supposedly what the line that they're setting. They're saying, we'll take good defensive players that are young that we can then develop, which, again – you're cutting your nose to spite your face because you had picks in the NFL draft where you could have done literally the thing you're trying to do in trading Julio Jones. So to me, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And honestly, like you said, Joe, you know that perfectly. They're going backwards. And frankly, that's the only position for them to go. And honestly, man, it's like, again, everything I'm saying, I'm assuming, I think, this is where they're going. But again, I'm someone with a normal IQ. Whoever is running it is literally, literally a moron. Like, because what they're doing is literally contradicting every step they make.
For sure, well, also, 100%. Sander, wouldn't it make more sense to trade Matt Ryan in a league that's thirsty for quarterbacks? The value on Matt Ryan's got to be sky high right now. So again, Riley just said it. I mean, some people are like, you know, maybe Julio's lost a step. Maybe, you know, maybe he's not the one anymore. Maybe he'd only be a two. What do you say to that?
100%. But they can't move Matt Ryan because they didn't pick a body to replace him. They didn't have a plan B. They don't have a plan B currently in place. And you're right, Pride. You and I were screaming, yo, if you guys don't pick Justin Fields, and they had Fields. And they needed to address defense. They could have been the first team to pick one of the top five players on the defensive draft in the entire draft. They could have had Tain. They could have had the linebacker, Micah Pearson. They could have had anybody on defense, and they chose tight end. And we're like, dude, great pick. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. But like you said, Joe, right player, wrong team. It's just you guys could have addressed anything else. And more importantly, if you were planning on moving Julio, why didn't you draft a quarterback? Because it's just now you're planning on trading Julio. You have a tight end. I understand what you're saying, Pride, but I don't care what nobody says. Right now, the tight end, Kyle Pitts is not going to replace or come anywhere near what Julio was going to bring to the table if he stayed there. So
yeah, but here's the thing, too. Even if, let's say Kyle Pitts matches Julio's numbers from last season, or say pick any one of his best seasons. You've also subtracted Julio Jones, though, from the offense. So, you know, it's funny, when the Giants re-signed Leonard Williams, there were people that were like, Giants defense got better today. And I'm like, well, no, it's the same defense as yesterday, but now he's actually signed to it. Mm-hmm. So it didn't make the Giants defense any better. It just meant that they were at least bringing that portion of it back.
Solidified it.
That's all it did. Having Julio Jones on again, I just think of Eli Manning's going to make a Super Bowl run, but not have Odell Beckham to throw to. Why don't we just hand it over to the kid now? What are we doing? That makes zero sense. So interesting moves from Atlanta. And again, now listen, when I say trade Matt Ryan, I don't mean now. I meant pre-draft. Again, under the assumption there's your quarterback. As soon as number four came up and Fields was available, you select him and you get on the horn. Who wants Matt Ryan and what can I get for it? Because I'd like something I could spend today. What would that be?
And like you said, because at the same time, if they do that, because think about it. If they did that and they had a team panic, and give them a top 10 pick. Imagine they could have had Fields and Pitts to pair with Julio, and all of a sudden, their future, not only does the present look bright, their future looks bright as well. So it's kind of crazy how, like, literally one pick, who I'm assuming Atlanta thought was like a safety pick, like, oh, this is the safest pick we can get. It's kind of ironic how the safest pick for them ended up being the most self-harming pick that they've done in like the last 5-10 years, as far as I'm concerned.
This might be stupid. This just popped into my head, but now I have to ask myself, why doesn't Atlanta call Green Bay? Do a little swappity swap. And hey, Aaron, if you come to Atlanta, you got Pitts, Jones, and Ridley. So we're not moving anybody. How you feel about that? You coming?
Oh, if I'm Aaron, I'm going. If I'm Aaron, I'm going. 110%. Because if, like you said, you're going to a place where not only you have a legit number one, which I still believe Julio's the number one, you have a legit number one, you have a decent, even if you want to call them decent at worst, decent wide receiving core outside of Julio, and you have what I'm going to go on a limb and say this, Kyle Pitts is going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm just going on a limb. Just based on what I've seen, I like the kid. He reminds me, this is a horrible name to bring up, I'm probably about to get his canceled, but it reminds me a lot of Aaron Hernandez, minus the off-the-field stuff. Like, the way he plays, he's big. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying
something. He's the most dangerous tight end to come out of Florida, baby.
Yeah, so like, yeah, more ways than one. But, you know, he's big. He can run routes. He's very physical. And he also has a little bit of finesse in him. So imagine, I mean, look, if that was a situation unfolding, man, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, that would be very enticing for him.
But he'd be going to Atlanta in a division with Daddy, you know, Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, so, but Atlanta so in that Brady division. Twice. I don't think that'll make Aaron Rodgers scared. If anything, I think that'll fuel him because he'll want to beat Tom. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I mean, again, some people like punishment. And maybe Aaron Rodgers is that dude who just wants to show up and be punished by Tom. Who knows? I don't know. But if I had to take a guess, if he's going to go to Atlanta, one of the main reasons is going to be, oh, I want to beat Tom and then win a Super Bowl going through him. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will obviously keep our eye on this situation, but there is, I don't want to say a situation emerging in baseball, Sander, but I don't know if those are the right words. We've seen 6 no hitters thus far. Joe Musgrove of the Padres had a no hitter April 9th against the Rangers. Carlos Rodon against Cleveland April 14th. Baltimore pitcher John Means no hit the Mariners May 5th. Wade Miley of the Reds no hit Cleveland May 7th. You'll notice Cleveland gets mentioned here a couple of times. Spencer Turnbull no hit Seattle on the 18th. And then the very next day, Corey Kluber, the only name really on this list, shut down the Rangers, who for the second time this year were also no hit. The league batting average, Sander, is .236. It is the worst of all time. Is it pitching? Is it hitting? What is going on in Major League Baseball?
I'm going with great pitching. That's what I've always been a fan of, and that's what I'm always going to love. I can't understand the disrespect. We praise batters for being great batters, for being great hitters, smacking home runs, great batting averages. But then we shit on pitchers who have low, high ERAs and are giving up runs left and right. But then we still crap on great pitching. We crap on guys like Grom, Kershaw, Cole, your boy Chris Sale, Trevor Bauer. We crush these guys when they're doing their job. It's like, I don't understand. Joe, what is the job of a pitcher? What is the job of a pitcher to go out there and make sure you don't give up more runs than we allow? You know what I'm saying? You're out there.
Yeah.
If, listen, I would be mad as hell if I go out there as a teammate, a position player, knowing that we have to score 4 or 5 runs a game to win, to compete. So I would much rather go out there knowing that it's going to be a low-scoring game, 2 to 3, you know, than give up 5, 6 runs. Yeah, this isn't football. This isn't basketball. This is the science of baseball. This is the sweet science of baseball. Like, I'm so sorry, but I could care less if we have 20 no-hitters in 1 month. What I'm saying is I praise great pitching because that's what they go out there and that's what their job is for. Their job isn't to go out there and give up 6 runs or 7 runs or 3 runs any. I'm sorry, but that's not what their job is supposed to be paid to do. So the fact that they're going out there, and you said it, it's a historic low. It's been going on for the past few seasons. It's been going lower and lower, and I appreciate it because that means that these pitchers are taking their job serious. The greats are doing their job, and that's exciting about baseball because not nothing. It's really not exciting when you go and look at a game every game and you see the score 5-7, 5-8, 6-7. Like, that's not exciting. That's poor pitching and poor defense, and that's not what baseball was built on. Baseball was always built on dominant pitching. Postseason, you bring the best arms, and if you can score on my guy, good for you. Because this man is having a imagine Rom in the postseason, bro, allowing less a run a game. Imagine seeing something like that. That's beautiful to me. Not knocking 6 home runs again. What I'm saying is, this is not going to hurt baseball. At least for me, this is why I fell in love with baseball. Watching guys like Mike Mussina, Randy Johnson. Kurt Schilling, you understand? I love Pedro Martinez, the GOAT. You understand? Like, I love watching pitchers. That's always been my story, and I don't think this will ever damage baseball. If anything, the pure baseball fans appreciate this and understand that this is what baseball was built on, not having a pitch clock and trying to make the game sped up. It's just nonsense, honestly. I love the game is going. And you said Rondon. The Yankees play Rondon coming up for the White Sox. I believe the Yankees, I think they play him today or tomorrow. So that's a matchup that, you know, I'm looking forward to see. So, yeah, I love it, Pride. I love the fact that these pitchers are taking control of the game. Gerrit Cole, Chris Sale, hopefully he's back 100% because I love me some Chris Sale. Kershaw. Strasburg and Scherzer, dude. I love pitchers, man. I love dominant pitchers. And the best thing to do, I always laugh seeing your best hitter going out there, strike one, strike two, oh, strike three. Oh, that was a ball. No, that was a strike, baby boy. You just ain't have the balls to swing at it. I love it. I love every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Like, there's no – the only way for me to agree with you anymore is for me to buy a ticket and literally try to morph into you. Like, that's the only way I can agree with you more because, frankly, the notion that, oh, my God, it's a no-hitter. This is boring. You want to know what else is boring? Painting. But guess what? When it's got to be done, it's got to be done. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sick of this notion that, oh, yeah, if a guy no-hits, that means that the lineup is garbage. Is it possible, just possible – then maybe this pitcher is legit. Maybe, just maybe, he just happened on that day to be better than that whole lineup. Is that a possibility? And again, like you said, we worship the guys who go out there and hit 40 home runs. Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso, his rookie year, hit like 50 homers. People were trying to say he was the best hitter in all of baseball. And now, when it's time for the pitcher's time to shine, we're not allowed to give them respect. At what point do we say, you know what? For every game that a batter goes crazy, or every 3 games a batter goes nuts, we need to understand there's going to be a game where a pitcher needs to have the spotlight. That's just how it is. And for you to want one part of the sport and then ignore the other is stupid. For instance, in boxing, right? We all love the knockout, right? We adore it. That's part of the thing. But if a guy goes 12 rounds, yeah, I'm going to be mad. But if the guy's dominating him, it's still going to be an entertaining fight to watch. Look, I'm not a fan of Floyd Mayweather. I believe personally he plays for points. But at the end of the day, when you watch it, you appreciate it. No matter how much you hate him, you appreciate it because you understand for every knockout, there's a 12 rounder. That's just how it goes. And that's how it is for baseball, man. Look, I don't understand why people I was on Twitter yesterday when after Corey Kluber got his right. I hate him. Hate him with a passion. I hope his next outing, he misses his flight. Just because he's a Yankees. That's it. Matter of fact, Gerrit Cole, miss your flight too. I don't care. But everyone was then saying that Corey Kluber was the worst thing that happened to baseball. And I'm sitting back and I'm reading this. And I'm like, so you're telling me a guy who coming into this Yankees rotation was perceived as washed. And people were hoping that the best he could do was give us five innings. Like, that's the best. He then gives you a no-hitter. And all of a sudden, this great sport of baseball is being tainted. Like, honestly, I don't know who's worse right now. La Russa or these morons who are saying this stuff. I don't know who's worse today, bro.
Two things can be right.
Right, but I'm telling you, Joe, I loved it, and I want to see more of it, quite frankly.
So here's my major concern about all this was, and I've been pretty outspoken about this the last couple of years, that they were using a juiced baseball. And everybody was hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Twins hit 307 home runs 2 years ago. Stunning.
Mm-hmm.
That team can't hit the red of a paper bag. Worst record in baseball right now.
Which is wild.
And here's what I'm wondering. Is they're back to the regular baseball, as everyone can guess this year. It's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. MLB won't admit it, but we see the results. And I can't help but think over the last couple of years where guys were so consumed with launch angle and all that nonsense that now that the ball doesn't travel as far. And the other thing, obviously, being it's hard to uppercut a baseball. We're seeing more and more guys across the league that throw 100 miles an hour. The other thing I found super interesting is hit by pitches is through the roof this year. It's off to a record pace.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think a lot of that is due in part to the fact that you've got so many guys that could throw 100 miles an hour.
They can't
control it. A lot of them can control that baseball mm-hmm. at all. And so I think what you're seeing is, I mean, they're near the plate, so guys are swinging. But I think it's a combination of both here. I think that there are a lot of great pitchers, and let's be honest, you keep bringing 100-mile-an-hour throwers in there, you're going to see a lot of strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Because their control's not great, you're going to see the walks. And as long mm-hmm. as they continue to swing going for launch angle, you're going to see a lot of home runs. And so I think this is what absolutely I think this is what baseball is going to see for the foreseeable future. I think this is what it's going to look like. Again, I would say, because I know Yankee fans especially lose their mind. Yankees are, when they don't score a lot, are actually playing better than most other teams are. So don't sweat it. That's what I tell them. Anyway, I don't know. I don't like this at all. I love well-pitched games, but as I hit this list to you guys earlier, and the names on the list being like Spencer Turnbull and John Means and Joe Musgrove, you must admit that's not exactly a list where you're like, none of those guys are going to be at the All-Star game. Put it to you like that.
Musgrove, no.
The only guy I will probably fight for is Musgrove. Everyone else, like Wade Miley, John Means, Ronda, I'll give you those. But okay. I don't know. I think Musgrove, again, because he's not a bad pitcher. He's a great pitcher. If you put him in a lot of other teams, he's definitely going to be the number one. You know what I mean?
You know what, to your point, though, Joe, about that, you named a lot of randoms. You named a lot of guys that I've never heard of in my life that pitch no-hitters. But I say to that is – I appreciate that because that just means the talent pool that's coming up in baseball is getting better. These guys, it's like back in the days where, you know, a lot of the OGs were really the ones that got the no-hitters. How many no-hitters Nolan Ryan got after the age of 30 is what I'm trying to say. I think right now, the fact that there's young players playing baseball, the talent in the youth nowadays is light years ahead of the youth back then. So I feel like that's just a testament to that. The fact that there's a bunch of no-name guys, bunch of young guys coming in here and, you know, having a great day. You know, I think you're going to see more of that because I think the youth right now is just getting better. I went to the park the other day, the local park out here in Hartford. I know none of them are going to make it, but just watching these kids, you know, the talent, they're in there. They're playing way better than when I was a kid and what I was playing. So, and that was not that long ago. So I'm just saying, to your point, Joe, the fact that there's these no names, these young cats coming up in the game, I appreciate that because they're making a small name for themselves. And only getting those games, you throw a no hitter that young in your career, you're going to take that, you're going to grow from it, and it's going to make you a better pitcher. I don't see it making you a worse pitcher. So I appreciate that. I love the fact that these guys are getting better.
Real quick, Musgrove, Joe Musgrove on the season, let's just get this out there, is pitching to a 2.47 ERA. He is 4-4. However, in his last seven starts, the ERA is up to about 3.5, and he's 2-4 over those starts. So he still has a shot if he turns it around. Yeah, since the no-hitter, things have been a little... I'll give it to you. Joe Musgrove's not a bum like the rest of those guys are. Again, yeah. I want to see a list where it's Gerrit Cole, where it's Jacob deGrom. I want to see Clayton Kershaw go out there and dominate teams. Then I would be like, all right, yeah, this tier of the pitcher for sure. No.
He means no-hitter.
I mean, right. That's the guys I want to see no hitting. That's when I would be like, oh, yeah, no, it's definitely just great pitching. So I think earlier today, one of the Keys brothers said that to me. They were like, yeah, doesn't it feel like, though, it's always a scrub, at least one or two scrubs that throws no hitters during the year? And I said, yeah, like one or two, but like usually there are four or five guys like are legit. That's all. Yeah.
It'll be like a Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander. It'll be them, and then it'll be like, right. Then it'll be a Wade Miley or a John.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying. I just want to touch on this real quick because, like you said, it was because like the talent. I don't think that the reason they got these was because of talent. What I think it is like what Joe said, these batters are now, for like the last couple years, they've been worried about launch angles, right? When I went up to the bat, that was never a concern. It was when you swing, make sure the bat hits the ball and it goes over there. Where it goes doesn't matter. As long as it goes over there, hits the ground, you're on first at least. It is what it is. But now they're trying to do all this stuff with launch angles, and it's kind of funny now because they're so focused on that. That works when you're facing a 12-6 curve. It works when you're facing a changeup. But you're not seeing a lot of those pitches anymore because it's like, oh, well, if they're worried about this, and I'm going, okay, fine. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll give you two quick fastballs to make you want to swing out. Then I'll sneak a slider in there, and then you're out of here. To me, I don't think it's really – and not to say that these guys are bums, but they're bums. But it's more along the lines of, like, the batters nowadays are overly aggressive. They really are. It's, like, because they all want to be that guy to go out and be like, oh, yeah, I'm out here hitting dingers. Yeah, like, they just want to go out there, hit dingers, and they want to – like, that's all. That's it. So now the pitchers are kind of seeing it. So now you have guys who really – I don't care what Wade Miley says, like what anyone says. Wade Miley at best is a three-pitch pitcher. I don't care what anybody says. And people will be like, oh my God, he's so underrated. Bro, you want to know why he's underrated? Bro, because the rating, he doesn't deserve a high rating. That's it. That's the only reason why he's underrated. Because the dude, he's a solid guy, sure, at best. But he's a three-pitch guy at best. He's got a decent, he's got the pitches that he's got, three pitches that he adores, fastball, curve, and slider. That's it. If you tell him, oh, bro, give me a changeup, the dude will look at you lost. And the curve, it's a generic curve. It's not one of those special curves that you see like Shohei when he throws it with the split finger and you just see it do some bizarre turn. You're like, okay. You don't see that. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, again, I love the no-hitters and I do want to see more of it. But I just think the reason is because these batters are being overly aggressive. They desperately want to hit. They want to be that guy to shatter Barry Bonds' record. Like that's where we're at in baseball. Guys care more about home runs than making it first, stealing second, and then like on a single going from second home. That's what guys care more about. So now when you got guys like Joe said, everyone and their mothers out here throwing 100. Like before, the only guy who used to throw 100 was Aroldis Chapman. And everyone was like, oh my God, this guy, this guy's like the next best thing ever. Now it's to the point where Aroldis throws 103 and people are like, good job, good job. We're just glad it's a strike. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's throwing it, Joe. So I like it, but at the same time, I get both sides.
What's a juice ball? Brooklyn Joe, what is a juice ball?
Well, so
wasn't it corked or something like that?
Yeah, the inside of the ball was more tightly wound, and the pitchers, matter of fact, the last two seasons, J-Hap, James Paxton, and Hideki Matsui. Yep. No, yeah, Hideki. No, I'm sorry, Hideki. Who's the Masahiro Tanaka? Oh my goodness, just confusing my Japanese players. Not Hideki Matsui, who I absolutely love. Right. Masahiro Tanaka. All complained. They said, because they struggle with their splitter. The seams were, it was all off. And now they're using the regular baseball that Rawlings has always made. And things are different. Like, although, I looked up Jay Happ's numbers earlier today. Because my argument was going to be, if the juiced baseballs are really affecting things, one of the guys I would expect to be having a good year would be Jay Happ, who seemed to really be struggling throwing his two-seamer because the seams were harder to grip. Mm-hmm. Well, with the regular baseball, Happ's throwing to a 5.45 ERA. So never mind all that.
I think this sounds weird, but I think the only reason it really affected it was when you were hitting home runs. I think, like, if you hit it, maybe it's just me, but I just kind of tend to notice that, like, when a guy hits, you know, when he hits like a chopper to third, I didn't really notice it, but I noticed it when they hit it and it goes long. And basically, like, to like summarize, so you know how basically cork bats, how like they basically would like put cork in it, and effectively what they did was the same thing with a baseball, which to me was stupid. Because guys get ejected and suspended for corked bats, but then they want hit, so they cork the baseball. So it's this weird thing. The league doesn't know what they want.
You're talking about the same league that both condemned but then allowed the steroid era to happen.
And then they don't let Barry Bonds get in the Hall of Fame. Do not get me started on that. Do not let me start on that.
I would love to have that conversation. Either they're in the Hall of Fame or you strike all their records out of the book. Pick one. This is a one or the other situation. And yeah, you know what? Funny. Here's the other thing. I don't want to get too far off track here, but on that topic, you got to put everybody in or nobody in. 100%. When I hear people say, like, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Frank Thomas was always a big guy, so he definitely didn't do steroids. How do you know that?
100%. You can't say maybe he got big because of the steroids and he's been using his whole career.
Loved and admired Ken Griffey Jr., but I mean, everybody but him was using. I don't know. I don't know. Riley, I don't know.
You can't.
I don't know, and I don't want to guess. I mean, Mike Piazza was alleged. Pudge 100%. Rodriguez alleged. They're both in the Hall of Fame. Why is Rafael Palmeiro out? 3,000 hits, 500 homers. That's automatic Hall of Fame. Why is he not in there?
To me, it's bizarre.
Pete Rose, damn it.
And for gambling, that to me is like stupid.
Time out. I'll tell you something. I love Pete Rose. I read Pete Rose's book, My Own Prison. If you haven't read it, it's a quick read. Pete wrote it himself, so the words aren't big or anything. All Pete Rose had to do was go into Major League Baseball and admit what he did, and he's just so goddamn stubborn. He won't do it. It's been laid out to Pete how Pete can be reinstated. Admit what you did. They've got the evidence that he did it, and he knows that he talks about it in his book. He just doesn't want to. He doesn't want to fess up. He's a separate case. The all-time hits leader should be in the Hall of Fame as the all-time hits leader. What he did as a manager, ban him as a manager. Pete Rose, the manager, is banned from baseball forever.
Well, what about the player league? Like, to me, my whole thing is, people praise, because the Summer of Love, when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, when they save baseball, right, they worship the ground. Mark McGwire walks. They worship his ground. And then if you so much as say Barry Bonds, look, I get it. Barry Bonds was not a good guy.
They gave him a job, right? Bro.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't a good guy, right? He was a bad guy. But he was even worse on the field against the opposing pitcher. The guy was literally hitting balls to the point where they would go to the opposing team's dugout. And you got guys in Marvel going, that's the furthest ball I've ever seen get hit. If you can make guys say that consistently, you're in the Hall of Fame. Dude only saw two good pitches a night, and he's out here setting up not 450, not 475, close to 500. Like nothing. But that's
by the way, yeah, I mean, for sure. And I'd love to come back and have that discussion with you guys at some point. Because I'm very passionate about the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you what, Harold Baines' entry into the Hall of Fame and Alan Trammell's through the Veterans Committee the last couple of years, two guys who, when I was a kid, I was certain I was watching Hall of Famers. So I'm happy with those. I want to see more guys in, not less.
For sure.
I don't want to just let, and I don't want to be on willy nilly about it, Pride. Don't get me wrong, but I saw guys play. I know who Hall of Fame, Dave Steeb from Toronto. How that guy's not in the Hall of Fame is beyond me. That was the best pitcher of the 1980s. He was the best pitcher in the 80s, hands down. There was nobody better.
It's more like a name value. Like if you go Steeb versus Mariano Rivera, they're going to throw Rivera in their quick basket.
I don't like it. Fred McGriff. Fred McGriff hit as many home runs as Lou Gehrig did. And he hit 20 home runs in more seasons than Lou Gehrig did. And he's a guy that gets squeezed in between the steroid era and the last real era of good hitting in the 80s. And despite all his troubles, leading the league in homers twice, and obviously you know from the Tom Emanski videos, his defense was top-notch.
100%.
That's a Hall of Famer. I watched that guy's entire career play out. He was a Yankee farmhand, as a matter of fact. One of the biggest regrets the Yankees ever had, trading that guy away.
I'm going to say this, and then we can move, because like I said, we can talk about this forever. You got guys who are murderers and rapists in the Hall of Fame. If the line is steroids, we need to reconsider what we're doing here. Like, if we have no problems with murderers and rapists being in the Hall of Fame, but a guy juicing up is, that's the line, we need to reconsider what we do. So, I said, I could talk about this forever. And if JJ was here, he'd be mad, glaring at me, telling us to shut up and move on. So, I'm going to leave it alone right there right now.
All right. Let's shut up and move on. Pride, let's talk basketball. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys about something. I grew up a huge Knicks fan. All right, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley,
Bernard right? King.
Those are my dudes, man. Yeah, like we're going back a long way. 80s Knicks, 90s Knicks, mid 90s Knicks. By 2000, James Dolan pissed me off so much I just stopped watching basketball.
I don't blame you.
I obviously pay attention enough to know what's going on. I don't follow it as much as I do. I have been this year. Loving it, dude. Thank goodness. I still haven't watched the Knicks game. I haven't watched the game because, again, I said until James Dolan's dead or no, just dead.
What about having self team?
I'd still prefer his death, tell you the truth. Either way, but I am paying attention, and I will tell you, I did contemplate for a hot minute becoming what at the time with the New Jersey Nets, becoming a fan of theirs. And then, of course, they moved to Brooklyn, made it even more appealing, I thought. And then, of course, they went out, made some moves. They got themselves a big three. Can the Brooklyn Nets, Pride, can they win an NBA championship? Las Vegas seems to think so. What say you, sir?
Well, no. I'm not saying they can't, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm foolish. You know what I mean? I don't watch basketball. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to understand, right? But did LeBron James, the greatest player to ever grace God's green earth, the GOAT, die all of a sudden? Look, man, there are two people in sports I've learned to never bet against, ever. It's that bad man born and raised in Akron, Ohio, 2-1 Gloria James. LeBron James. This man, we might as well take his head off and put a goat head on it, because that's how much I will never bet against this man. The second is the greatest quarterback to ever grace God's earth, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Those two men, I will never bet against. I just can't. Okay. So let's just get that one out the way, right? One, first reason, I can't bet against him. Two, this is a more, should I say, damning reason. We don't know how these guys can play together. Now, people say, oh, yeah, well, KD played with James. Bro, that wasn't the same James, man. If you want to say that was the same KD, fine. James Harden, bro, that was a guy who was content coming off the bench, and he would only shoot, in essence, is if he had an open shot or if he got the blessing from Russ and KD. That's it. And a lot of the times when he was on the floor, Russ is running the one. So, I mean, I just don't get why all of a sudden you put them together and, oh, yeah, now all of a sudden they're going to win. We thought the same thing was going to happen, to talk about Brooklyn, when they put – when Brooklyn traded with Boston and they got KD, Jason Tatum, and Paul Pierce, everyone and their moms was saying, oh, yeah, this is their time. Didn't happen. First year LeBron went over to Brooklyn or went to Miami. Oh, yeah, it's four-peat. What happened? Didn't do it. The Clippers last year. Oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. They ended up not doing it. And the main reason is when you play basketball, this isn't like baseball, right? This isn't a situation where I know we talked about, but Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent hated each other to the point where they're fighting at the dugout. But, you know, in baseball, you don't need camaraderie. If you're the three hitter, you don't need to be best friends with the four. You don't need to. Basketball is different. You need communication. You need some type of camaraderie, especially with three ball-dominant dudes. Because Kevin Durant can be ball dominant at times. And then you got Kyrie Irving. Literally every time he misses a shot, oh, I got to go on a sabbatical. Come on, bro. Every time he misses a shot, the dude's on his period and needs to go home. Like, come on. That matters. And for all the people saying, oh, my God, he won't do that in the playoffs. You're right. He won't. He won't go home in the playoffs. You know what he'll do? He'll shoot 7-for-23 in the playoffs. Because when we traded him, I'm a Celtics fan. When we traded for him and we got rid of IT, which I'm glad we did, but then I was upset because this dude was out here tossing. We thought Dwight Howard was brick, man. Did you see Kyrie? The dude was throwing up so many bricks that after we got swept, bro, they had they started looking around our facility and they started finding like empty holes from all the bricks that Kyrie stole when he left them on the court. So we had to start plugging them up. And then another thing, interior defense matters. Bro, look, man, fresh out of my car accident, I'm getting 15 on these dudes easy. Okay. Let's just call it what it is, man. Like these dudes can, and again, the big three is talented. I'm not taking nothing from them, bro. And you say, oh, yeah, bro, they'll outscore anybody. That works in the regular season. But when you start getting to the playoffs where the tempo starts getting slower and you actually – there's times where fast breaks don't really happen like that where now you got to run half-court sets. And now all of a sudden, the best big man we have is Dwight – or DeAndre Jordan, an aging DeAndre Jordan. Well – at least he's got defense. Oh, no, he doesn't even have that at all. So, I've been consistent saying this from day one. If they need to get through Milwaukee and they need to get through Philly, those two, again, me personally, I don't know who's going to win. If you're telling me to pick one of those three, I don't know. If you want me to rank them, I have Philly and the Nets fighting for one, and I have Milwaukee half a step behind, half a step. But this isn't like the West where everyone knows, oh, it's the Lakers. Come on, bro. Maybe Denver, no, but who are you kidding? It's the Lakers. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, I've never seen anyone say, yo, but them Clippers. Like, no, the only people who are saying Clippers are people who want to be like, you don't want to be contrarians. You know what I mean? So I know light's going to come and be like, oh, my God, bro. These guys are phenomenal. These guys are great. I understand they're great. But I will say this to my dying breath. You see my complexion. You see my color. I will scream it until I change blue. Defense is just as important as offense. And if you're shooting, and congratulations, bro. For every shot you're making, you're giving me two shots to win, especially in the playoffs when you're playing against quality teams, especially when you got to rely on James Harden, who, like, look, man, his playoff resume, look, bro. I'm still looking for him from the Spurs a few years back. I've still got an APB on him, bro. I still got cops patrolling the streets looking for him. Still to this day. To this day. To quote the great Deontay Wilder. To this day. So, again, they're talented. I ain't going to take it from them late. So, if you want to say they're the favorites, go ahead. All I'm saying, bro, there's two sides of the ball, and Brooklyn has not shown me anything on the defensive end that come when you start facing these elite teams, I just don't see them making a difference yet. Now, I reserve the right to change my mind. So when they do win and I'm allowed to be a bandwagon, sure, I'll hop on next year. But as of right now, I kind of got to be consistent. So as of now, I don't have them as a lock play.
Damn, Pride. I was really hoping that you'd smarten up, because all season, you were saying, oh, sure, they can score, but are they going to finish a top seed playing the way they do?
I never questioned a top seed. I said they were going to be a top four seed. We said that from the beginning.
Oh, a top three top seed. Four. I thought you said you were – I agree we're going to be a top three seed, and you said that they wouldn't be a top three seed with the way that they play. But
I said I don't know. They're too unpredictable. No. Don't use retrospect, though. Don't use retrospect. You can't retrospect now and be like, oh, yeah, I was right.
Go ahead. There's a lot of teams.
Well, wait. I think he can retrospect you.
When I said there's four – all I said they were going to be a top four. Is a third seed top four? I was right. Get off me. Go ahead.
Check this, though. There, you say defense, my man. You said, okay, they can't probably stop a lot of teams. But I don't see a single team assembled that can put up the amount of points that on their best night they can put up. And in order for you to beat them in playoffs, you need to beat them four times, Pride. And I don't see a single team outscoring this team four times. I just don't. I feel like when you add Kevin Durant and he looks like he's 100% again, and that man is walking 30, LeBron at best, guarding Durant is going to hold 28, 30 points. Okay?
Yeah, so vice versa. LeBron will drop 35 on him.
They nullify. They nullify each other.
All right. I'll take that.
They nullify each other. And that's if the Lakers come out the West, my man, because they're crawling into the playoffs because they're hurt, bro. They're not 100%. Both LeBron and AD are on crutches in the playoffs, let alone
I'll tell you this right now. I'll take LeBron over anybody West.
I was about to get to that. LeBron on a crutch. Right. Is still better than 90% of the NBA, 95% of the NBA. AD on a boot is still better than 80% of the NBA. I'll give you that, bro. You got some dogs in the West, okay? And these guys are hungry. So I'll tell you this. It's going to be rough. If the Lakers get to the finals, it's not going to be one. It's not going to be easy. And by the time they get to the finals, bro, remember that? I keep on alluding to this. Remember that picture a few years back, guys? That LeBron James took when he was in the locker room with ice packs on his shoulders, on his knees, and he says, oh, my guys look like this. I look like this so my guys can look like that. They got a picture of Iman Shumpert celebrating and all that, and meanwhile LeBron James is looking all beat up. That's times two in this situation because he's already hurt. So for sure, I don't see anybody in the East. I don't see Greek Freak having enough to compete with the Nets. I don't see Philadelphia having enough to score on the Nets. They're great defensively, but I just don't see, other than Joel Embiid, anybody else dropping 30 a game. When you got James Harden, who's going to school. Tobias Harris, yeah, but dude, what I'm trying to say is you can get so much from Tobias Harris. Other than Tobias Harris.
20-something points a game, what do you mean?
Okay, but James Harden alone is going to give you at least a triple-double. And you got Kyrie.
Against a scrub team? You're right. All right. 110%. I'm not disagreeing. Go ahead.
Listen, I mentioned this earlier. I'll mention it again. The Big Three played 8 times together this year. In NBA history, no team's 3 leading scorers have played in fewer than 10 games together and went on to win a championship. The team that did it in 10 games was the 2000-2001 Lakers with Derek Fisher, Kobe Bryant, and Shaq. Mind you, they had been teammates for the previous few years. So these guys knew each other very well. That said, Las Vegas has the Nets favored at 240. The Lakers are second at 375. Clippers at 600. Sixers at 750. Vegas isn't wrong a lot. I will say that. And the more I've been covering MMA in general, the more I say, if Vegas is saying something,
Don't do that to me, Joe.
Pay attention, because they either see something or they know something.
All I want is this. This is all I want. You're hearing him because you like what he's hearing. That's it. Now, if you listen to him, I don't want to hear it right now. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you this right now. After the finals, I'm coming for Nate. And like, you know this phrase very well. I want restitution. When the Lakers sweep the Brooklyn, matter of fact, I hope Brooklyn makes it. Sweet. When the greatest player sweeps them, I don't just want restitution. Like it says in the intro, I want a handwritten letter, formal apology, sent to this man. Because this whole notion that all of a sudden, like, look, man, again, if these dudes played the whole year, you got me. I understand, because by then they'll be able to play with each other. They'll know each other's in and out. They'll kind of, especially with Kyrie, that's the main issue. Because for every, and Joe, I'll say this to my dying breath, Kyrie's is a detriment to a team, because he thinks he's a one, but he's really a two. And that is one of the worst players you can have. Because when it comes to that time, look, man, if on that team, money on the line, if KD's not taking that shot, I don't want the play. Throw the playbook away. I don't care what it is. If KD's not taking that shot, you gotta throw that whole thing away. I don't care about Kyrie. Because look, people say, oh yeah, bro, Kyrie hit that game-winning shot in game 7 a few years back from Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm like, I get it. That's cool. I respect that. But again, he's not as clutch as KD. And on top of that, his clutchness determines on how he played. So if he has a poor game, he's not looking for the best shot. He's looking for, dare I say, the dumbest shot possible, where like you pass it to him, he runs up the key and then takes 3 step backs for absolutely no reason and then tries to shoot it from the logo. And I feel like this stuff matters. Like, it really does. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to get to know each other. And like I said, and like you've heard me say this before, me, and if any of these big three guys are expendable, it's Kyrie. And I'm trading him. I'm trading him, and I'm getting some.
They don't got to be bros to win, though. They don't got to be bros to win. Shaq and Kobe weren't the best of friends, and they still won a few championships.
But they knew each other. I'm not saying you got to be friends, but you got to have chemistry. You got to have something. They do know each other.
Well, KD and James know each other.
No, they know, because James is not that same guy no more. He's not the same guy.
He said the same thing about Russ when he went to Houston. How'd that work out? Pride. They've played with each other in All-Star games before. When James Harden was in All-Star game in Houston, KD was right there with them in Golden State and in OKC.
Let me ask you a question. How many All-Star games have they played? Let me ask you a question. How many All-Star games have they played?
The past like 6 or 7, bro. Are you serious?
So 6 or 7. So that's 6. Let's be nice. Let's say 8, right? That's 8. Joe said they played each other for eight games. That's 16 games. Are you comfortable with 16 games with them knowing each other like that?
Them two, yeah.
That's a reach and a half. Are you comfortable with not adding Kyrie in the mix? Thank you. And that's the point I've been screaming. Kyrie is I don't want to call him an oddball, but he's an oddball. Because any guy calling the planet flat, you are oddball. And once you throw him in the mix, for every answer he gives you, he gives like 4 questions that you now kind of got to take a step back, and you got to be like, okay, let's redesign, rebuild, and reclaim this whole thing. So I'm not going to say they're a lot. Now, again, let me clarify this, Joe, because you're laughing at me. I want to clarify this.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm enjoying your performance.
Look, all I'm saying, I am not saying that they're a bad team. I need to look at the camera. I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm not saying they're a bad team. What I am saying is, in order to play, the most talented team does not always win. There's also little nuances that come in. The Lakers lost to Detroit. Detroit was not the better team. But what was it?
They were historically great defense, though.
Say it one more time for the people in the back. Say it one more time. Joe, you know what I love to do, Joe?
They were historically great defense.
Joe, you know what I like to do? You're an old guy. You remember Wile E. Coyote? I like to dig a hole, right? I like to dig a hole, and I lay a net over with some like leaves on top, right? And eventually, my roadrunner will appear. My roadrunner will get here, and he will fall. See, that's what I've been trying to tell you, bro. Defense matters. Again, this isn't a scrub team. This Big Three, if I'm going to say this right now, if this Big Three wins the title, this will be arguably one of the greatest Big Threes to ever play the game. That's how talented these guys are. But again, can't play defense? Well, I'm not going to say they can't. They just won't. I'm not going to say they can't. Because, you know, for all we know, maybe come playoffs, all of a sudden they go switch up the gear, and all of a sudden Kyrie Irving's going to come out here looking like Jrue Holiday. Who knows? It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying, as presently constructed and how they're playing, it's more likely for them to have four off nights and losing rather than them having four phenomenal nights and winning. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And for me to say that and then be yelled at and called stupid hurts my feelings. Okay? Hurts my feelings. And I will demand an apology the instant the Nets don't make it out the East. Because when they don't, I'm gonna be laughing. Now look, man, don't say nothing about the Celtics because we're not making it. So don't violate me there, bro. So
I'm gonna go with Vegas.
Yo,
Vegas. I gotta do it.
Vegas. You're enjoying my performance. Don't play me. You're selling me right now, Joe. You're playing me right now. Come on, Joe.
I will say this though. I will tell you this. You mentioned two guys before that you would never bet against, and one being Tom Brady. The second being LeBron James, and I couldn't be any more with you on that. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see either one of those guys come tearing through this postseason for LeBron and AD to, you know, they can do it. And I'll tell you this, to me, I think the NBA is in the best state it's been in a while, where for the first time in, I don't know, a decade, I'm not sure who the champion's going to be.
There's a lot of teams.
I'll be wow. That's great.
That is true. Yep, that is true. Without a doubt.
The NBA is better when the New York Knicks and the Lakers are in the playoffs. That's just always.
You can make that debate. Honestly, I hate the Knicks. I want them to go back to the dumpster fire. I despise them with great intensity.
It's a weird stance to take. Why?
Because they're New York. That's all, man. That's
is that all it is?
That's okay. All. Look, man, I have to because I am a straight New England guy, and I'm a legit New England guy. I don't watch hockey that much. You ask me, my team is Boston Bruins. That's just me. You feel me? The Giants, I despise you guys with great intensity, except when it comes to that man, Danny Dimes, who's going to be one day a Super Bowl champion. Book it. I'm telling you right now. That's the only time I'll ever be a fan of New York, right?
Danny Dimes is going to run New York like the New York 100%. Times.
I love his intro. But I will say this.
Love it.
That is
if
great.
LeBron loses to this Brooklyn Nets team, I will not be mad. I won't be mad.
You can't, man.
I'll be furious. I'll probably boycott NBA. No lie. But obviously, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, that's my third. Again, you can make that case, which
no, I get it. You know why you can't? Because the better three there would have been Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant. That would have been your big three. Dennis Rodman wasn't there long enough and didn't score any points. He did a nice job cleaning up some boards and throwing the ball over to those guys. No. Horace Grant was a beast. If you don't remember, that's fine. It's okay.
Joe,
it's all right. He took Shaq in Orlando.
You don't remember. It's all good.
I get Horace Grant. I still would have put Rodman in there only because if I miss a shot, I know for a fact he's getting it.
So would Horace Grant, but Horace Grant could also shoot the ball from 12 feet out if he needed to.
Right, but if you're playing with MJ and Scotty, be honest. Is your third guy really going to shoot? No, he's getting the board, and what's the first thing you're doing? Where's MJ before he yell at me? Come on, man. Like, because we all know MJ's a spoiled brat. But again, let me shut up, because that's going to be the second time I'm bring us on a whole tangent.
I love your tangents. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll just say, to me, the 6'10", 215-pound Horace Grant was definitely the best big three guy with Pippen and Jordan. I'd have to say that. I was there. I saw it all. You're right when you asked before, you said, aren't you an old guy? Yes, I am. I remember before Michael Jordan was in the NBA. Yeah. I remember what that was like when Dominique Wilkins was the craziest thing we'd ever seen.
He's still kind of
there for Dr. J.
He's still crazy.
You were there for Dr. J.
I have a Dr. J rookie card, as a matter of fact. He was my favorite player when I was a young boy. Love Dr. J. Yes, sir. All right. Really? Let's talk STP Sports Blazing Weekend predictions. And I think we've got some really good ones here. And I think we probably have to start with Sander. So, Sander, what is your blazing prediction for this weekend?
Well, starting off the bat this Saturday, we had a really good UFC fight night. The card is explosive. You know, you got a lot of bangers in that card. But the main event, we got Cody Garbrandt fighting Rob Font. You know what? As much as my heart is telling me, my brain is telling me Cody Garbrandt, because he's the more polished fighter and he's in position to make a run right now, couple win, I'm going with my Boricua power, my Puerto Rican native, my boy Rob Font fighting out of Puerto Rico. And, you know, he's coming off he's 4-1 in his last five fights. He's has tremendous knockout power. He has a few notable wins under his belt, one being a Marlon Morales, who in round one gave Henry Cejudo everything he can handle. So I think my boy Rob Font going to shock the MMA world and put Puerto Rico on the map, because I haven't really seen a Boricua-born MMA fighter, you know, be on the map in the UFC scene. So he's the first that caught my eye, and I'm excited. I got my boy Rob Font upsetting Cody Garbrandt by a knockout.
Oh,
you know, no love for no love. I love it.
Nah. I got to defend him. I want Skittles on it. What up? I want Skittles.
Hey, I want some Skittles. Right, let's bet some Skittles.
Bro, I got Cody, bro. Yo, call me Marshawn Lynch, because I'm going to be drowning in these Skittles, boy.
All right. Cody Garbrandt has to win.
Yes, 110%. Now, if Cody Garbrandt does not win, I will be angry. I will be furious, and I will boycott the MMA, and I will not be here Monday. So I just want to throw that out. So for me, originally my prediction was going to be that Cody Garbrandt was going to win, right? But now I kind of want to be a cornball. And Joe, just for you, to spite you, the greatest organization ever created, skies green earth in terms of Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox. Baby, we 3-0 this weekend. We 3-0 this weekend. My man Slick Nick came off a win. You feel me? We finna see him again. You feel me? The greatest pitcher in the league at me. What are we doing right now? Oh, wait. You're joining me for this magical ride we're going to go on. We're going to go 3-0 against the Phillies. It's going to be a breeze. And then, Joe, then I dare to say their pitching won't last, because it don't matter. You feel me? I can't last. Guess what? I got a wife and two kids. So I don't matter how you last, bro. It don't matter. So 110%, this is all the energy I got left, man. And I'm telling y'all, we sweeping. And after that, Joe, I'm going to get your address, and I'm going to send you a broom. And when you get it, you'll know why.
There's a big broom, too.
Oh, God. I've enjoyed this show, watching it from afar. Miss JJ, who will be back on Monday. But I want to say thank you to JJ for asking me to step in. JJ did tell us his blazing prediction. He says the Memphis Grizzlies will defeat the Warriors and clinch the number 8 seed.
Yeah. So a little backstory to this, Joe. This man, and I like, you're there too, so don't smile and pretend you're innocent. You're with him too. This is what I was saying, right? If you're in the play-in, you're a dog water team. That was my thing, right? Because if they have to make an exception to get you in there, you're not good. That's all it really comes down to, right? They got mad at me. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know. I must have been a very bad guy that day, because they were angry at me. And they said that they were a good team because they were over 500. My thing is, are they in the top 8 seed? No, right? So it don't matter. It don't matter. So
this is my okay. Go ahead.
All I'm saying, they're not getting the 8 seed. And then when they go home and they're packing, you see John Morant. I didn't have enough help. He crying like a toddler. You feel me? When that happens, I want to see Joe, I need you to watch Monday, right? Because the excuses these guys are going to come up for him, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be, and I'm going to be right there, live and in person, right? We're not even going to call it. We're not even going to call it like the recap. We're going to call putting Light and JJ on the spot, hosted by your boy Pride. Because I'm going to put them, I'm pressing them, Joe. I'm telling you, I'm pressing them. So when the Warriors slap them by a cool 15, last time I called 15, it was for my Celtics over the Wizards, and I was right. So it's going to be another 15-plus for the Warriors sitting at the A seed just for them to get mollywop and bounce out the playoffs.
Pride, Pride. Look, my only beef with you, my man, is the fact that, look, 1 through 8, not you can't expect the 8 seed to have the same record as the number 1 seed. There's a reason why more than half the league makes the playoff, bro. So you can't expect the bottom seed to have a great record, bro. That's
you're right. The bottom seed. And you're right, but let me ask you a question. Did they have a better record than the 8 seed? Miss me with all that. I don't care if they got the best record than the Suns or Utah Jazz. Your Celtics
got the 7th seed and they're 6-36, bro.
And we and I said it last time. We played like dog water this year. I've said it. I'm maintaining consistency. I'm maintaining consistency. We played horrible. You feel me? Look, man, I just want John Moran to get out of here. I'm just once John Moran gets out of here, Joe, watch Monday. Cause I'm gonna press these boys. I'm gonna be like, yo, what's the excuse? Mm-hmm. And then if he wins, I'm just not showing up. I'm throwing that out there right now. I'm not showing up.
I guess I'm gonna be the only one.
Bro, my mouth has like, I've written a lot of checks. I don't know if I can cash them. So like, if I'm like over, I might be sick. If you catch my drift.
I gotta tell you, I'm with Pride on this one. I think he's right.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yes, sorry, Light. I hate to do it to you, buddy. All right. I am super excited about this. And if you don't mind, I'd love to plug a show I'm doing tomorrow, Throwing Jabs, 10 a.m. right here on the Clovercrest Media Group Sports Network. Very excited about the fight between Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor. And I've been reading a lot. People think that Jose Ramirez is going to win the fight. And to that, I say, meet Josh Taylor. This is one of the slickest southpaw counterpunchers. He's the defense that Josh Taylor employs. He's hard to hit. He cuts the ring, I believe, better than any human being on earth right now. Josh Taylor will win this fight, and he will knock Jose Ramirez out and unify them belts. So you heard it. Believe that.
I will say this. I have seen a little bit because I've heard a little bit about the fight. So I have seen some of Josh. I do. And to me, I think the reason he's so good at it is, hey, he's got phenomenal cardio. Like this guy, he likes to go, but it's also he focuses on cut off the ring, which is you don't see a lot of guys do. Like his thing is your back is going to be touching them ropes. And you know what I mean? Like if you try to run from me, that's fine. I know where you're going to go. So I know where I can go to cut you off. So, but Joe, you feeling froggy, my man, over there? You feeling froggy? Because I can use some Skittles. Some Skittles?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got Jose.
Good. Yeah, take them. How many Skittles you want?
Oh!
We go by the bag, baby. We go by the
let me Hold on. Let me just let me tell you something before we go a step further.
Go ahead.
I've been waiting for everyone in America to know who Josh Taylor is.
I know.
I've been watching this guy for years.
Joe,
I'm telling you right now, and the reason why this guy's better than most of the other guys that are out there right now, one simple reason, this guy works the body.
Yep, which is great.
And all these great young guys like Teofimo Lopez and Tank Davis, everybody wants to punch your face in and try to knock you out. Right. If you want to take a guy out and if you want to watch the way Josh Taylor is going to break Ramirez down, it's going to be body early. And when Ramirez can't keep his hands up over his chin, that's when Taylor's going to bludgeon him to death.
And look, I understand. I'm with you, you know, but it's not hard to hit. It's very difficult to hit the body when you're knocked out and you're visiting your grandparents. And you know what I mean? Like when the man got you out, you feel me? And you he gonna knock him double D out. You feel me? You can't work the body. Not when you're taking a nap. Not when my man's out here doing a math. Look, man, he gonna have him making a commercial for the Sleep Number bet.
I hate to tell you this. Let me tell you a little bit about Jose Ramirez. First of all, all the dude does is throw lefts.
That's fine.
All he does is throw lefts. We were talking earlier, you talk about this, and I see this is important because to me, Josh Taylor, just because people don't know his name necessarily, I think this guy's on the level of a Bud Crawford. This guy is, his boxing skill is here.
But no,
it's here.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I've seen him, bro. And this kid is, but the thing is, I've seen him get hit to where he should be stunned. And what I like about him is his composure. Like, if he's stunned or not, if you tag him, he takes a deep breath. You see him backpedal, but not backpedal because he's hurt. He backpedals so in his mind he can clear it and reset. And that, honestly, I like that a lot about him. Like,
end of the day, the big difference between Ramirez and Taylor is, as Taylor's taken better fights and moved up, he's still knocking dudes out. All Ramirez has been doing is going the distance with all sorts of dudes. And I'm telling you right now, Josh Taylor won't be there in the 12th round.
You're right. He'll be asleep in the sixth. I'm with you 100%. We'll see. I'm with you 100%.
We'll see.
No, man. Skills.
We'll see. I'm watching this. Skills.
100%.
You are. Let me tell you something. Here's what I want from you on Monday.
Oh, no.
I just want you to look at the camera at some point and be like, when Joe Aguirre says that this guy's one of the best boxers of the generation, I should listen to him. That's all I want.
Okay. And then if I'm right, I just want you to just swing by here just once whenever you can. And I want you to look in the camera and say, whenever Pride says something, we got to listen. That's all I want. You know what? I don't want skills. I'm going to get Skittles. I'm going to get my stomach fed with Skittles and my ego fed with compliments. It's going to be a great Monday.
Oh, boy. This was more fun than I thought it was going to be. How about that? And I knew it was going to be fun. Don't get me wrong. This was off the hook fun. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, and thank you for coming. Thank you, JJ, bro. Have fun. Do your thing. You know what I mean? We're going to be here. And Joe, whenever you want to come by.
Man, for real.
Yes. Whenever you want to come by, feel free to come by so, you know, I can entertain you for a cup of coffee. You feel me?
I love it. I appreciate that. Stir the Pot Sports. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Stir the Pot Sports. You can also check us out on the Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport 1. Also on Twitch TV at Clovercrest Media Group. Clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. If you haven't visited these boys' website, make sure you do so. JJ put a whole bunch of work into it, and it looks absolutely fantastic. We're on Spotify, Stir the Pot Sports. Gentlemen, what an absolute pleasure to work with the both of you.
In return, sir. In return.
Yes, same. Feelings mutual.
These fellows will be back on Monday night. JJ Vargas will return, will Riley Barrett Valdez and Sander Arroyo Sanchez. Pride and Light, you guys, great show. Really appreciate you letting me hang. I'm Joe Aguirre. That's going to do it for Stir the Pot Sports. Yeah.